Zorbapastor on your health is pre-recorded.
From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorbapastor on your health. I'm Carl Christensen.
And I'm Dr. Zorbapastor.
He's right there, yeah.
We are not virtual. We are real.
We are. And this is our last show. This is the series finale, not
that's
the season
right,
finale.
Right.
This is the last hurrah. But as always, we're going to talk healthy living. We'll walk through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls, emails as well. Zorb is going to talk about what's going on next for him. And we may just hear from Tom Clark today.
Oh, it's fabulous.
That's
going to
be
we're
exciting.
We're also going to discuss a couple of important topics. Health literacy. The ability for you to take information, look at it, and then make the right decision for you and for your family. And in this sort of traumatic time, health literacy is more important than ever. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about Americans get 55% or more of their calories from ultra-processed food. What does that mean? How can you eat right so you can stay well?
And what is our final recipe going to be, our last meal?
I've got to tell you, the last meal is one of my favorite recipes. I made it for 10 years, picnic chicken, a variation of a recipe from Cook's Illustrated. It is dynamite. It is great for a crowd. It is great for your friends. You can eat it hot. You can eat it cold. Let me tell you something. Once you make picnic chicken, that will be your go-to when you go to a picnic.
That sounds perfect. All right, to the phones we go. Let's welcome a caller now from New York City. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Zorba. I want to congratulate you on your retirement.
And oh, thank you.
I hope you'll continue to have fun.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. You know what I like to say? It's a gap year. You know, it's a gap year. You really like that.
I like that.
It's a gap year, and we're going to do a podcast during the gap year.
Nice.
So how can we help you?
Okay. I'm a 71-year-old retired nurse. And had bilateral knee replacement in February of 2022. And in 2023, around the middle of the year, I started having pain and that would radiate both legs.
Oh,
right?
Huh.
Yes. Both legs. And now it has extended to further down than the leg.
Huh. Starting from where? Starting from the knee? Or where?
No, starting from my gluteus maximus.
Uh-huh. Got you.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. From
and,
your butt.
Yes. And I had an ablation about a year and a half to 2 years ago that really did not help.
An ablation of what?
Of the nerve in my L4, L5.
Got you.
Yes. I've got moderate to severe L4, L5, acquired and developmental spinal stenosis, plus disc herniation in L3, L4, spondylosis, just
you got a lot of stuff going on in your back.
Yes.
And you're still having pain.
I still am, and I'm doing exercises, but...
Sure.
Sometimes it acts up a little more than others.
So let me give you some suggestions. So first of all, you know, sometimes for some people, Tylenol, generic Tylenol, 650 milligrams, 1 to 2 tablets, 3 times a day can make a difference, okay? The next step after that really are anti-inflammatories. Over-the-counter Aleve generic, 2 tablets in the morning, 2 tablets in the evening. After a couple of months, I just go get kidney function checked by your doc if things are fine. But buprenorphine. Now, buprenorphine is a very interesting drug. It's an opioid blocker. It is a controlled substance, but in very small amounts, 2 to 4 milligrams, very tiny amounts. And naloxone is the other drug, which we also use to actually reverse opioids, can actually work well for chronic pain. It's a very interesting drug. Now, I know this because of the other doctor pastor, my daughter, who is Dee Dee Pastor, who actually works in it with women who with substance use disorder and also with people who have chronic pain. So I would look towards those things from a medical standpoint. I really would try. Now, the other thing that you want to look at is dry needling that physical therapists do, which is actually very similar to acupuncture, but your physical therapist, if they do dry needling, it may be covered by your insurance.
Okay.
Do not go the surgical route. It's not going to work.
No, I actually went to a surgeon, mm-hmm. and he said he wanted to do a fusion, laminectomy, and I said, I don't want that. I've heard of mild, minimally invasive right. lumbar decompression.
Oh, yes, you mean that you had.
Yeah, but I'm really hesitant about doing anything in the back.
Absolutely. I'm on that. I agree with you 100%. So try these things and see if these work. And if it weren't our last show, I would say give us a call back and let us know. You can also follow me with my new podcast, Stay Well with Dr. Zorba. Actually, you can put that in right now wherever you get your podcast, and you'll get the podcast as soon as it starts.
Nice.
And you'll be able to call on that one, too, because we're taking calls on that.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, and enjoy your retirement.
Thank you. Gap year.
your gap year. Absolutely. I'm still enjoying mine. I'm volunteering a lot. And,
wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut that down.
But volunteering, you're 71. You sound much younger than a typical 71-year-old. You've got a tool chest, you know, because you're a nurse, and you've got to continue doing things really in gratitude. That's what I think. I think you need things to inspire you. You know, not just to get up in the morning, but to get up in the morning and do something that's creative and it's good and helps other people. And then that really becomes an act of gratitude, which I think makes a big difference in joyful living.
Absolutely. And I do dancing.
Oh, wow.
So, so I'm going to a dance class this afternoon, swing and, you know, salsa and tango. And yeah. So,
sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep moving, with things that I enjoy. Yeah, so thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Stay well.
Okay, goodbye.
Thanks so much for that call at, you know what? I don't even think I have to say the number anymore, right?
No, you
and maybe
don't.
That's a blessing for listeners.
No,
maybe
don't.
They're tired
the number,
of hearing that 800
number.
The number
is like in my brain over and
we
over
have it written right down
over
here.
Over. That's right.
800-462-7413. Anyways, I'll never be able to erase that number from my brain the rest of my life.
It's like an earworm. It's a number worm. It's a number
it
worm.
Is.
Instead
Anyways,
of an
we
earworm.
Have a healthy living topic number one to talk about, and this is important stuff, especially these days. Health literacy.
Oh, it's really important. So let me explain a little bit about health literacy. First of all, let me give you a shocking number. 90 million Americans have minimal literacy at all.
Just reading literacy
well,
in
literacy.
General.
In other words,
yeah,
you can
right.
read some fourth grade levels. You can read newspapers, we used to say, but you can read stuff. But going farther than that. But let me tell you what health literacy. Health literacy is the ability to look at information or hear it and then understand it and then apply it or not apply it. So let me give you a perfect example. I had a patient years ago, young patient, one of my first patients I ever had, and she had a urinary tract infection, gave her an antibiotic, and it said take one pill twice a day. Okay? Came back, urinary tract infection, came back, you know, gave her a different antibiotic twice a day, three times a day. This happened literally four or five times. So I said, okay, I'm going to give you this other antibiotic. And then I'm a little bit further. I didn't realize what was going on, really. I was a young doctor. I didn't understand this. And I said, tell me, when do you take your pills? How do you take them? You take them with food or water? And she said, well, it says take, you know, one tablet twice a day. So after breakfast, I take my first tablet. And then after that, I take the other one. I don't want to forget it. She was
right
taking twice a day, one right after another.
Right.
She didn't understand that twice a day meant once maybe in the morning, once in the evening. And that's really where health literacy comes in. The other issue, and I've done a lot of research, is people are afraid to ask questions in the doctor's office because they think they're going to sound stupid and dumb. I mean, they're terrible words that I'm using, but that's what they feel. So they're embarrassed. And one of the reasons, a primary reason that I even wanted to do the show in the first place, you know, and been doing it for 35 years, do my column, do my TV stuff, write a book, you know, go on a PBS tour, mm-hmm. is because I really want to improve health literacy, and it's one person at a time.
Yeah.
And you do it. So I have a question for you. When you go, you're smiling.
I'm like, oh, no.
Because you are now in the chair.
The hot seat.
You are now in the hot seat. That's what you didn't expect. It. I'm looking at your eyes, Carl.
Uh-oh.
I said, I have a question
for
you.
I hope I have an answer.
And immediately your eyes come up, and he's saying, God, can I answer this question? You know, is it Avogadro's number, like in science? You don't even probably know what that is.
I like avocados. Yeah,
No, you like avocados. Avocados, you know, or is it going to be like pie? You know,
yeah.
You know,
three, I like
you know,
pie.
You like pie. That's it. You know, the question is, when you're in the doctor's, you just can't get away.
Is that the recipe pie?
Yes, the recipe pie. No. It's okay. Picnic chicken.
Okay, sorry.
But when you're in doctor's office with your kids,
yeah.
Do you interact with the doctor?
I do, but I also try to kind of stay out of the way. So it's kind of a mm-hmm. learning experience for yeah. my kids to be mm-hmm. able to talk to their doctor or an adult and have a nice conversation.
Yeah. So why do you do that?
Just so they can learn to be more independent and be more comfortable talking to the doctor.
So
but if
you,
I need to step in, I will.
So what are you teaching them?
Independence, I guess.
Health literacy.
Okay. Yeah.
You're teaching them independence and you're teaching them health literacy. You're teaching them to question, and you got to question things. They got to question authority in the world, and you've got to question anyone with authority, doctor or nurse practitioner or other.
Mm-hmm.
So by letting them ask the questions, you're actually teaching them health literacy, even though you didn't model it that way.
Yeah.
So that's what you're actually doing. Now, if you look at older people, and seriously, I mean older than me, I'm old, I'm 78, but people in that next generation, they kind of were taught to go into the doctor's office and say, yes, sir, but mostly men.
Take their marching orders.
Take the marching orders and leave it. And they wouldn't even say what the doctors say because they were kind of embarrassed.
Hmm.
But I think over time that has changed, and you're teaching your kids that. So you're doing a good job.
And we love our doctor, too. She's very good at not just asking us the questions, but asking our children the questions
and
building that trust.
Is building the trust and the fact that they can then ask questions of their doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So when they become adults, you know, if they go into a doctor's office and the doctor goes, duh, 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 duh,
yeah.
they'll say, what do you mean? And if the doctor just says, well, I'm a doctor, just follow me, they're going to get a different doctor. And that's important. And we've all been in situations, well, most of us, maybe not all of us, in situations where you ask a question and it's like you're asking me a question, so I'm supposed to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are providers you don't want to have.
Right.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You're actually teaching health literacy to your children without—
I didn't even know it.
No, but without knowing it, because you're a good parent and you want them to be involved with in an interactive way, which actually improves their IQ. It's very, very interesting. All this improves their IQ and makes it more likely that they will be able to adapt in the future to a whole bunch of things versus having them sit there and just listen. Good job.
Well, thank you, Zorba.
You're welcome.
All right. Before the break, Zorba, we've never been shy about taking a compliment or two from our lovely listeners. Have we, Zorba? We're happy to take a pat on the back. When we announced the show was retiring, we were flooded with hundreds of emails and Facebook messages.
Really nice.
We want to share
nice.
Some here. It was very tough to narrow it down to just a few. So here we go. I'm going to try my best. First, I'll read an email from Sampada in France, of all places, who writes, Dear Dr. Zorba, this Indian girl thanks you for everything.
Oh, nice.
I came to your show while creating lesson plans for my pharmaceutical and medical English students.
Huh.
My students in France needed to hear American accents and current affairs in health.
Wow.
And your show is informative not only for them, but for me. And so I was hooked. You and Tom, and later Carl, have been my evening cooking companions for a decade now.
Oh, wow.
I would come home from university and listen to you engage in banter and laughs. I later learned of the work you do in the Tibetan community in India, where I was born and grew up. I was sad when Tom retired. I was sadder when your wife passed away.
Oh.
But through that sadness, it seemed that the show would always go on. I thought your presence in my kitchen would be permanent. So thank you for the show and for your work with the Tibetans in India. Wishing you the best for your future endeavors.
That's a love.
That was very
that,
sweet.
That
very
goes
nice.
Right to my heart. I mean, that is such a lovely email. And
I have more. Should I keep going?
Keep going. You know, it's humbling. It's
mm-hmm.
It's humbling. But the show, I've been doing the show for 35 years, you know, because I want to help people, and that's very humbling.
That's very nice.
Yeah, good.
Thanks, Sampada. And this is from a listener, Amanda, who writes, I'm heartbroken. I've been a loyal listener since the early days in the mid-90s when I was a graduate student at the University of Minnesota, and I still listen to the show religiously here in the Pacific Northwest. I love everything about it, from your humor to the caring advice and evaluations of contemporary research. I love the rapport between you and Carl, and I can't express to you how much I miss the show. Thank you for your many years of wisdom, and I'll put in a vote for you and Carl to continue on, hopefully creating another weekly podcast. I count on hearing your contagious laughs every week. Well, that's happening.
Well, it's really nice. And we do have a podcast. If you put Zorba Pastor anywhere, you'll get this podcast. You don't have to do anything else. Apple, where Spotify, wherever you get them, because we've got a podcast, Stay Well with Dr. Zorba. That's very nice.
And this is from a listener, Mary, who posted on our Facebook page, "I'm saddened to read your tenure as the best medical show ever ending. I've loved your wit and wisdom and your good nature to welcome criticism. Tom and Carl were perfect partners on air. It's indisputable that you will be greatly missed by many. I'll still follow your adventures on Facebook, and I wish you very well."
Very nice.
Finally, Zorba, the following email came from Andrea, who writes, "Thank you, Brad, Tom, Carl, and Zorba, so much for your hard work."
Oh, the whole team.
The whole team got props there. I've learned so much. I've learned so much.
It is a team effort.
It's definitely been a team effort, for sure. I've learned so much and had so many laughs. I think my day would start out better if Zorba's laugh was my alarm clock. Hey, there it is. You're all irreplaceable. I wish you and your families the best. So can I marinate on this for just
a
second?
Marinate.
I'm marinating.
Marinate. I'm turning red, but I'm I've been red blushing the whole time.
I like this idea of a Zorba laugh alarm clock. I think it's really funny. So listeners listening, this is your chance.
Okay.
We're gonna play a clip of one of Zorba's signature laughs. So maybe if you're listening, you hold up your phone to the radio or computer, however you're listening. Capture his laugh, and then you can use it forever. Yeah, exactly. Do a voice memo.
A voice memo on your phone.
Just get the voice app out, and then maybe you can use it permanently as your Zorba alarm clock. So we got a clip here. This is a classic Zorba laugh. Brad, let's hear it. It's got a nice little fade out on it.
It's so weird. It's so weird for me to listen to my laugh like that. That is like the strangest thing. And I do have people come up to me, you know, because they hear my laugh. It's my laugh. So that is really strange, let me tell you.
I really was tempted in this little segment right here. Do you watch The Simpsons?
Of course.
Do you know Nelson, the bully?
Yes.
I was going to do a little mashup of your laugh with Nelson's laugh, but I think it would have taken away. You're not a bully at all, are you?
No, you're not a very kind man. Yeah, that's right. No.
All right.
Like The Simpsons, you know.
Much more of the show to come. We'll do Zorba's picnic chicken recipe. We'll hear a listener voicemail, maybe some more special funny business, some giggles here and there, and we'll hear from the show's former co-host, radio icon, Tom Clark. We'll hear from him. So keep it right here on Zorba Pastor,
On Your Health.
Carl Christensen in Buck Studio in Madison, Wisconsin. You're listening to the finale of Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Are we getting trumpets? Where are the trumpets?
They're coming in. Yeah, the UW marching band's actually stuck in the elevator. They're on their way. They're stuck in the elevator.
Boy, that would have been something to get the marching band come around.
Yeah. We have a budget for that, right?
Yeah, we have a budget for that, right? That's right.
All right, let's do the recipe. This is Zorba's famous picnic chicken recipe.
That's right.
Tell us about about picnics. This one?
Well, first of all, you know, do you go on picnics?
Yeah.
Who doesn't go on picnics,
I
right?
Do.
I still remember I was with my daughter, Vanessa. She was 9 or 10 years old, and I had promised we're going to do a picnic. Penny was out of town. I don't know where the other kids are, and I'm in a funk over something. No, I have no memory of what it was.
Right.
I must have been complaining. We're setting up things for the picnic, and she said, Daddy, there's no such thing as a bad picnic.
That's great.
And it's like, pop.
That's
it
amazing.
Was like, and I've thought about that ever since. There's no such thing as a bad picnic.
That should be a book.
It is.
Don't you think? That's a
There's
great
no
book
There's no such
title.
Thing as a bad picnic, but it's really true.
That's great.
But this particular recipe, I highly recommend chicken thighs bone in.
Okay.
Now, if you're going to use boneless, skinless chicken breast, then you want to make sure you brine it. And there are lots of good brines. You can look it up. The brine that I happen to use is 2 quarts of water. You put in 1/2 cup of salt and 1/2 cup of sugar.
Mm.
Mix it all around with a blender. Put that's boneless, skinless chicken breast. Put the boneless, skinless chicken breast in there for 1 hour. Pull it out. Put it under the water to get the salt out afterward. And then it'll plump it up so it won't be dry.
Okay.
But the best thing is chicken thighs.
Okay.
With the skin.
Gotcha.
If you don't want the skin, you give it to somebody who loves skin. Me.
You do. Yeah. Or your dog, right. Maybe.
Can you imagine somebody sending chicken? Start out with 2 tablespoonfuls of good chili powder. 2 tablespoons of kosher salt.
2 big tea kosher salt.
2 tablespoons of good paprika. So if it says Hungarian paprika, it means it is from a better pepper. 3 tablespoonfuls of brown sugar.
3 big tea brown sugar.
Doesn't matter if it's light or it's dark brown sugar, that's what you do.
Okay.
If you like stuff hot, which I tend to do,
Teaspoon
of red pepper.
Okay, little tea red pepper.
So here's what you do. Here's how you make it. I'm explaining it. First of all, go to the sink, wash your hands.
That's a good start. I like that.
You like start. You like,
I like
washing
yeah,
hands.
Yeah.
Yes, wash your hands.
You gotta wash your hands.
Put the brown sugar in the bowl.
Okay.
Okay. And mix it up. You don't want brown sugar clumps together.
Yeah.
You got to mix it up to make sure you don't have the clumpy stuff in
it. Use your clean hands to
That's
mix
right.
it up.
Then you put all the other ingredients in.
Okay.
Okay? Then use your hands to mix it.
Okay.
You now have your chicken thighs next to you. Take the chicken thighs, put them in on the top, on the bottom, put them in, shove it in the oven. And basically, you do it at 425 for about 40 minutes. At the end of 40 minutes... pull it out, make sure it gets to 165 degrees, turn it off. That's after 45 minutes it usually takes. Look at it at 35 minutes, and if it looks like it's getting too dark on the top, take a piece of tin foil, just shove it on top of the whole thing. Now, when you take the chicken out, I'm going to tell you, you've got a bonus. You take the chicken out, you now have chicken fat.
Okay.
With spices.
Ah.
Now, I've got to tell you something.
That's liquid gold.
This is not a heart-healthy recipe. This is the opposite. But sometimes we've got to do the opposite
of a
heart-healthy
recipe. It's the final show. Who cares,
recipe.
Right?
If you want to, if the desire hits you, you take that oil, put it into a pot separately. And if you are serving it with baked potato or rice or noodles, use that delicious chicken fat boil with all of those on top. You are laughing.
That sounds great. I know I'll do that stuff.
I got to tell you something. It's one of the best toppings I've ever had. And every time I put it on something, I can feel my coronary arteries just squeezing.
Oh, I would dip chips
squeezing.
In that stuff.
Dip chips in it, you know. So I normally would say, well, I can't say. If you want a copy of today's
recipes. Yeah, we're going
recipes,
out with a bang here, aren't
we're
we?
We're going up there to ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org.
Email,
and of
yeah.
course, Facebook.
Yeah, you'll still be on Facebook.
And
very
by the way,
active.
Facebook yeah. will continue. If you're on Facebook now, Facebook is going to continue. Stay along with Facebook because I will continue to update it on a regular basis.
All right, Zorba. As we've mentioned, the show was born 33 years ago. Can you believe it? 33?
I think it's 35 years ago.
Well, it was 1992. So
did you figure that out?
I did. I did a quick number crunching on that,
okay.
And that's 33 years, roughly, give or take.
I like it.
I like that you're going to take my word for it.
Hey, we're on the show.
Well, I'll play.
Got to take your word for something, you know?
So this is 1992 it started, and it was just you and Tom Clark, the famous radio icon, public radio legend,
well,
Tom
Clark.
Well,
he was a legend. I mean, when interviewed people, he never let anyone get away with anything. He did all these political interviews. Yeah, he was great.
So he was a huge, obviously, a huge part of the show and instrumental in the success of this show.
And Monica Pekes was our producer. She was a huge part. She thought the show would be good. And, you know, she was right. It has legs, as we say in the industry. 33 years.
33 years.
Show had legs.
Yeah. So Tom Clark, we want to hear from Tom again. So Zorba actually just recently went to his house, sat down with him, and had a little little interview. How'd that go, by the way?
It was great. It was great. It was a time. I mean, you know, we would see each other weekly for 33 years, but for decades.
Right.
And so I know him really well. Yeah, I had a great time.
So I cut together a couple highlights from that recent chat that Zorba had with Tom. So Brad, let's hear that.
So, how long were you on the radio?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
A long time.
You were on a long time. We did the show for over 30 years. I know you never had fun, right?
It was always torture.
It was always torture. Every single thing that we did. When you interviewed people earlier in Wisconsin Public Radio, you never let anyone get away with anything.
You know, I think I tried to do that,
yeah. That's right. What do you miss most about not doing the show?
I do miss doing the show.
Yeah. Did you like doing the show?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. We had a good rapport together, you know.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Well, after 30 years, if we didn't have a good rapport together and we were still together, then something was going wrong, right? Tofu. Do you like tofu now?
No. Some things never change.
We had a rapport or a banter that was very natural. What we did was not made up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, it was natural.
Yeah, it was a totally natural thing. And I think a lot of that had to do with your sense of humor and my sense of humor, you know. The other thing was we really respected the people who called up on the air.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah. When we showed up, like, events in Milwaukee or up north, people really liked seeing us.
Yeah.
You know. When I showed up alone, you know what they would say?
I guess I don't.
Where's Tom? I think they thought we were together all the time.
Yeah.
So you know what I remember you did the most? You would talk about basketball scores, you know, to Carl and Brad.
Oh, I got it.
What they were doing.
We had something in common, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you never talked about basketball scores to me.
Well, I didn't think you gave it.
All right, are you going to wish me good luck in the future, or are you going to wish me bad luck in the future? It's going to be good luck or bad luck.
Let's say good luck.
Let's say good luck. That's it.
We'll see you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
Great. Nice chat.
Oh, that was great. That was great. It was great to go to his house, you know, interview him, talk to him for a bit. And we had this rapport, you know, it's seeing an old friend, you know, seeing an old friend, you just knew him. That was great.
That's a lot. You guys put in a lot of time together.
We spent hard to believe that there were decades of information and that we have helped people for decades. With health literacy, with knowing how to go into an office, begin to decide upon their health so that they can make the right decisions. And in this hurly-burly time, people have to know how to actually have to have health literacy to figure out what they're going to do for themselves and their family. And that's really what the whole goal in doing this show, and that's the goal in the podcast that I'm going to continue with, Stay Well with Dr. Zorba, because it never stops. There's always junk and noise in the air. I mean, we may think there's more noise now than before, but there was noise before. And a lot of it just didn't come from, you know, the atmosphere of politics and medicine and the anti-science movement. A lot of the noise came from doctors. And that's why it's important for you to take your health seriously, look at different sites, and then get curated information that is meaningful to you. And there's good information. Public radio has great information. So you've got to keep your antenna up and figure out what it is, because it is confusing. But if you look around, you can figure out what works for you, just like you do for everything else in your life.
Important stuff, Zorba. All right, I have to read this because I was trying to gather my thoughts about this final show, what it's meant to me. I'm just going to read something. I'm kind of a script guy, so I had to put it down. 13 years ago, I was hired to produce this show. When I first started, I had no idea how rewarding it would be to work with you, Tom, and Brad. And I feel privileged and honored to do it.
It's okay to express your emotion. And actually, it's good to express it. So.
Yeah. It's been a dream job. It really has. And thankfully, I was given a fair amount of autonomy and creative freedom when it came to chasing ideas for the show. And maybe a few of those ideas got weird at times. We've probably heard that over the years. And so for our final WPR show, I'd like to try one last questionable idea, if you're okay with this.
By the way, I want to correct you.
Oh.
Not a small part, a big part.
Well, thank you. Well, you're the doctor.
It's not a small part.
I just set up the stuff, you just go.
You know,
it's
the George Fenneman and Groucho Marx. You don't even know what I'm talking about. But yeah. It's Johnny Carson, with his sidekick.
Ed McMahon. Am I the Ed McMahon?
Yeah, you're the sidekick. You move the information. But you represent the audience of questioning back and forth. And that's the reason why the show is so good with so information. If I'm just sitting there talking for, 45 minutes, nobody's going to want to listen. It's like, who wants to hear that? It's like, bang, 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 bang. It's the information that gets moved by you. So you have been an integral part of the show, producing it and then being on it. And you initially thought pre-COVID. Remember COVID?
Oh, kind of. Yeah, barely.
Yeah. The COVID, the bad uncle.
I never thought I could co-host this show.
That's right.
I didn't really want to.
You didn't realize your ability. Well, you questioned your ability.
I didn't think I could do it.
You stepped right in, like you had been doing it for years. And because you had been producing it. Mm-hmm. So I would say big part, not small part.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
But you are weird.
That's I know. Well, here, yeah, let's get weird.
I will agree with that. Weird. Yeah, weird.
So this bad idea I'm about to do.
It's your jokes that are weird.
Yeah, I know.
They're like fourth grade jokes.
They did not mature at all.
Yeah, I mean, at least you cover yourself with a potty mouth. You don't have a potty mouth. Go ahead. I'm interrupting
this idea,
you. This is your stage. Sorry.
Here we go. Carl's turn.
Yeah.
So this has to do with the show's theme music. I've always loved this theme song, by the way. I've loved it. It's very stark and hypnotic.
Something? Leo did it when he was a teenager.
I know. That's crazy.
I talked to him the other day, and he said, I did it when I was like 12. I went to bed in Leo Sidran. I said, I need a theme song. And then he did the theme song, and then Ben did a couple of little things on it. It's the same.
It's so cool. Yeah, and over the years, there have been discussions, should we replace it and update it? And
we never did.
No. I never wanted to. I always loved it. It's got like those mouth popping noises in there. And anyways, over the years, I've just thought I would love to write lyrics to this theme song.
Oh.
It's just turn it into like a full blown song.
Oh, that is way cool.
Yeah, wait till you hear it. I don't know if it's way cool.
Well, we'll find out.
So let's.
As long as it's not potty mouth humor.
No, I don't think so. It's a lot of build up here. Brad, let's just hear what this sounds like with lyrics.
This is the show you want to hear. Zorba and Tom.
Mouth pop.
Zorba Pastor is on your health. Zorba Pastor is on your health.
We got phone calls, recipes, Google Doc, or police disagreeing with the doc. We got big T's, little T's, Mythbuster, Med Diet, plenty of healthy talk.
Thank you so much for that call.
We're on your health.
I think I'll go to the restaurant.
Questionable idea there. Thanks for giving me a long leash on that.
That is so good. I just love it.
I don't know if it's good.
I love it. You know something? I got to send it to Ben and Leo. They would love to hear it. So thank you. Thank you, Carl.
All right. There's much more of the final show coming up. We'll tackle another healthy living topic. We'll hear from you, our lovely listeners, and we'll say goodbye for now. So keep it right here on Zorba Pastor
on your health.
Carl Christensen in Buck Studio one last time with Dr. Zorba Pastor.
That's me.
We're in the final stretch here, aren't we, Zorba?
Not virtual. Final stretch. Hard to believe.
It is.
Final stretch of more than three decades. It is hard to believe.
Yeah, 33 years.
So,
it's quite a legacy.
Yep. Yeah.
But we're talking about healthy living. Let's do the next health topic.
Let's talk about
ultra-processed foods.
So there was a Brazilian researcher who developed this concept of minimally processed foods. So no processed foods, get an apple, okay?
Sure.
Minimally processed foods, take a salad, put a little bit of oil on, a little bit of salt. That's minimally processed, and maybe some other seasonings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we won't do number three, that's intermittent processed, but ultra-processed foods are when you look at the label and you try to read it, you don't even understand what's in there. You know, BMT and BHT and sodium glutamate.
Yeah, dozens of ingredients.
Yeah, and I'll give you a good example of ultra-processed. So right in front of me, I have Pure Life purified water.
This is a bottle of water.
Mm-hmm, purified water. So you would think there would be just water in here, right?
Sure. Water
Bottled
should be water.
Water,
right.
So the first ingredient is purified water.
That's good. Good start.
Right. But then they add calcium chloride. You know what that is?
Yeah.
It's a salt. Sodium bicarbonate. Magnesium sulfate.
Why are they adding these things to a bottle of
for
water?
For taste.
Okay.
So that you taste it. In other words, if water tried to, have you ever drank distilled water?
Yeah, I think so. I don't
it
remember the
what
taste.
What we call flat.
Okay.
Well, try doing it. Go to the go
just
to the store,
the
get distilled water.
Just pick up the iron and
well,
go right.
You, put it in, you have to put it in the iron before you do it. But I mean, distilled water tastes, I mean, it has a taste to it that is flat. So they add these things to a water bottle. Think
mm-hmm.
about that. Because it tastes better. And then they give it a name, Pure Life.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give the name Pure Water.
Right.
So, and then they show kind of stick figures doing stuff. So the idea, and it says purified water enhanced with minerals for crisp taste.
Crisp
so they
taste.
Have to label that from the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
They say enhanced. They don't say processed
mm-hmm.
with materials. They say enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our packaging. So we have a lot of foods that we eat that are ultra processed. And about, this is the real thing. If you look at Americans, 55% of their calories, according to good research, may come from ultra processed foods.
That is a huge number.
And children and adults, it's up to 61%.
Hmm.
So, you know, they go to the store in my small town of Oregon. There are 25 places in our town where you can actually get prepackaged food.
Hmm.
Anywhere you go. Restaurants, gas stations, you know, you pick it up here, you pick it up there. You don't know what's in that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the label, you'll find out it's a whole bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so are these things good for you? And the answer is no. And that may be the reason why we have obesity. So let me ask you, do you go to Taco Bell?
That's really funny. Did my wife tip you off,
no,
by the way?
Oh, not at all.
It's
not
funny.
At least.
I don't think I've talked about it on the show.
Go ahead,
I actually like a bean burrito from Taco Bell.
Bean burrito. What else do you get from Taco Bell?
That's all I'll order there.
You get a bean burrito.
But I add jalapenos to it.
That's it.
Which are probably really processed with all kinds of salt and stuff.
I am not questioning.
Are you judging me in Taco
judging.
Bell?
That is funny that I use Taco Bell and you get a bean.
I was like, my wife just texted you, right?
He's turning red. Folks, he is turning red. He may have lost it when he said this was his dream job, but he's turning red when it comes to Taco Bell.
I'll go to bat for Taco Bell.
But I read an article in the New Yorker about the Crunchwrap Supreme.
Oh, yeah.
And how it was introduced in 2005. It sold 51 million units in the first 6 weeks, making it the most successful launch in the company's history.
That's like the dark side of the moon of tacos right,
right.
there.
No. The Crunchwrap Supreme. I don't need to have to tell you how many calories it is. The name says it all. Crunchwrap Supreme. That means you're probably getting one-third to one-half of your calories in that particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about the engineering of the taste.
Okay.
They didn't just come up with it.
Mm-hmm.
They tried this and that. Look at this and that. You also eat with your eyes.
Okay.
You don't just eat with your mouth. You look at it and you eat with your eyes. So ultra-processed food is made to look good, taste good, but often it's bad. So the way to stop eating as much ultra-processed food is, guess what? What would be your way not to eat ultra-processed food?
Cook your own
food?
Meals.
Oh!
Right? Listen
wow.
to this show,
the
archive of this show, and cook the recipes.
Genius.
Cook your own stuff.
That's exactly right. And you know what? A lot of people say, well, I don't know how to cook. You know what? You can learn.
Yeah.
If you can learn to use your phone, you can learn to cook a meal.
That's a good point.
Come on. If you can learn how to download our podcast, you can learn to cook a meal. Anyway. The report said we've got to cut down on ultra-processed foods, which I think really are engineered to make us eat more and more. And I really do think a lot of our obesity comes from ultra-processed foods because they want to make us eat more ultra-processed foods. It is the genie in the box that came out, got to put it back, start cooking at home.
Okay, Zorba. We always love getting voicemails from folks who want to share their thoughts with us.
Love. That's
so
right. Yeah.
It's time again for caller comments.
This is a bunch of caller comments. People calling us with their health tips. Thanks. We appreciate it.
We do. We've always appreciated
it. Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, since our WPR show is riding off into the sunset, we recently put out a call to listeners to call in and leave us their thoughts about the show and what it has meant to them over these years. Huge response, Zorba, as you could probably imagine.
Really?
A
nice.
Sonic avalanche nice. Of lovely voicemails
nice.
That I carefully combed through. I want to say thank you so much, listeners. I wish I could play all of them, but here is a very small sampling of what we got.
We've been listening to Zorba for so many years. We appreciate the show so much on so many levels. We're so sad, devastated even, to know that his show is ending. This show is so helpful to so many people. We love Tom, we love Carl, we love Zorba and all the staff. And thanks for so many years of good advice and laughter and recipes. Thanks so much.
I just wanted to say that I've been listening to this program for about 12 years, and this is absolutely one of the most informative and educational programs I've encountered, let alone it's about such a good topic and so well prepared. So I'm going to miss the program. Good luck, Carl, Zorba, and everyone. Thank you.
I'm very disappointed that they are taking you off of the air. You have been so enjoyable to listen to. You have helped many people, and I do not understand why they always end the good. Thank you for your service.
I just wanted to tell you that you are so kind and gentle with your recommendations and with your suggestions and listening to simple people like us out there. And you're so gentle, and the way you explain things, it makes it easier for us to ask you questions without any inhibitions or feeling embarrassed about asking silly questions, because you're very kind, very, very kind. Thank you.
Nice.
I, like a lot of the people, are going to miss you, very much so. You've been a good help to a lot of people.
I have been listening to your show, as many others have, for years, and it really was heartbreaking to read that we are not going to be together for an hour each week anymore. I've gotten so much information out of your program that I have shared with people in my life. I'll hear something and go, oh, that's something that this person should try and that person should try. It's been very valuable. And I've enjoyed all the levity and recipes. Just going to miss it. Thank you, Dr. Zorba. I so admire you, and keep on traveling. I love following your travels, and you are just full of life. And thank you.
You and your show have provided a great service for this country, and I'm sorry that you won't be able to continue, but you've done a great job. You've got a great show. I just wish you could keep going indefinitely. Best wishes to all of you. Thank you.
I've really enjoyed listening to your program. I've met both Dr. Zorba and Carl and Tom, and you will be sorely missed. I've learned a lot from you. And, of course, all good things have to come to an end, I guess. We really need you now. We need real information. We're in a perilous time with our health, and I really appreciate the information that you're conveying. So I'm hoping that you will still be around, maybe in a podcast.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so humbling. It really is.
Very
humbling.
Nice.
I mean,
that's a lot of nice messages.
That's a lot of nice messages. It's really humbling, you know.
Hard to sum that up.
Well, you don't realize how you touch people's lives.
I bet.
That's it. You don't realize it. I mean, you know, you run it up the flagpole and you see what happens and, you know, the show is ending and it's very moving and it's very moving that I've been able to help people. So,
Okay, I got to do this part now, Zorba. For as long as I've been producing the show, much longer actually, the person making it sound so good has been the man in the sound booth.
He's right over there.
The technical director, Brad Kohlberg.
Ba-ba-da-da.
And I've known Brad for a long time.
I don't know
if you knew that. Maybe listeners haven't known that. We go way back. We met in college at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. We've played in bands together. We were both DJs, actually, at the campus dance club in Eau Claire.
Cool.
It was called Sneakers.
Cool.
And maybe there's one person listening right now that's like, oh, wow, Sneakers. And that is where—
I can imagine it.
Yeah.
I can imagine. It's in my imagination.
It was right on campus. Right. It was great. We kind of goofed around a lot there as DJs. We were making little silly music mashups all the time. They had two, you know, record players, two turntables. And we found— we were digging through the old record crates they had there, and we found a Genesis record, you know, Genesis, Phil Collins, Genesis. Mm-hmm. And we, one night during the dancing, you know, we were DJing, and we decided to put on, kind of mash up a Genesis song with, like, this techno beat. And I just want to kind of paint a picture here. I want people to hear what this sounded like.
Go for it.
Let's hear that.
I'm dancing, man. I'm getting up. I got the whole thing there.
Zorba's dancing.
It really is a techno beat. It's throwing me back to the big puffy hair and everything else. I got it.
So you can imagine, and you could probably imagine, these kids didn't want to hear that, these college kids. They wanted to hear, you know, Dre and Snoop and whatever. They wanted to hear some hip-hop and
stuff.
They
didn't want disco.
It cleared the dance floor when we did this.
But when you put it on the dance floor, it got cleared and they went down and had a drink.
Exactly.
Right? Waited for the music to change.
Yeah, the manager loved us as DJs. It kind of foreshadowed our careers working together, kind of goofing around. But anyways, over the years, now and then, we've heard from Brad throughout the show. Listeners have probably heard him kind of chime in. We ask him a question. We put him on the spot, and then he kind of maybe hesitantly, you hear him just kind of go, you know, answer the question.
Right. Yeah.
For the final show, Brad wanted to say a few parting words. And he's
In
his own voice.
Oh, my God.
And he's a total audio perfectionist. So Brad wanted to pre-record his parting words for the show so he gets it just right. So, Brad, let's hear your farewell clip.
Thanks for listening. Thanks a lot.
I love it. Hey, that's Brad.
He got it just right.
Here it is. We're going on for like 20 minutes, all about this, all about that. You know, Brad sums it up.
He did.
Thanks for listening. Give it the drum roll. I mean, really, you know, it's the bottom line. It's like the Mark Twain quote, "Sorry, I wrote a long letter. I didn't have time to write a short one." See, so Brad is really the Mark Twain in the engineering
Mark
studio.
Twain in the sound booth.
Right.
I love
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's great. Well, can you tell Brad's a drummer, too? He going to
I
add
did.
A little
I know.
Zeppelin.
I did. I figured it was... I figured he was the one who did the drum. Yeah, that much I know.
All right, partner, that's it. Anything you'd like to say before we ride off into the sunset?
Well, it has been a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a pleasure to work with you, Carl. It really has.
Absolutely.
You've stepped into Tom's place perfectly. You knew exactly what the tenor was. And frankly, if you didn't, when Tom, you know, basically was retiring, I would not have continued the show. It wouldn't have happened, you know, because you just figured out the tenor. It was your, you know, your silly sense of humor. I was going to say stupid sense of humor,
but
we don't say stupid on
accurate.
Public radio.
It's accurate.
But it's your sense of humor. It's your timing. But it's also your emotive self. And, You know, and our working together and my working with Tom, we are able to actually give good information that's in a digestible form so people can understand things and then take action on their own health. And it's curated information. You know, it's good scientific information. If you believe in science, that's what I believe in on the show. Got to base it on science. That's who I am. That's my, you know, bailiwick. And it's been a pleasure to be able to do that. It's amazing that Wisconsin Public Radio produced this for 3 decades.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when I hear response from people that people were moved so much. So I have to say thank you, everyone, for listening and giving me the opportunity to be able to help you and help others. And it's hard for me to say things. So. But be that as it may, we have a song for you.
I'm grabbing a guitar. It's probably making a lot of noise.
Brad's grabbing the guitar. And
we're going to go out with a song here.
We've got to go out with a song. Come on, America. You go out with a song. You know, the end, go out with a song. It's not the song from Succession.
No.
That's a different kind of a song.
Hopefully I can play this. If not, we'll just try it again, I guess.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
To you.
To you. To you.
Keep smiling
until then.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you
until we meet again. And remember, we're still going to do stuff on our podcast, Stay Well with Dr. Zorba, and we'll continue to see you, Carl and I. And remember, it has been a pleasure to serve you all of these years. Stay well.
Zorba Pastor on Your Health was a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It was not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer was me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director was Brad Colbert.
That's right.
Our theme music was...
And I was Dr. Zorba Pastor in my gap year.
Our theme music was by Leo and Ben Sidran. It's got lyrics now. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen asking you to join us...
Yeah, where?
On the podcast, I
guess. On the podcast.
Yeah.
Stay well with Dr. Zorba. Thank you for listening,
Thank
folks.
You so much,
thank
everybody.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Brad.
I love sausage.
Maybe that's how the show ends. I just use that little clip right there.
It's been all baloney.
Okay. Hey, save it for the show, Zorba. All right.
From WPR.